Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Ruth tonight, chapter number 1, and we'll pick up kind of where we left off this morning and finish out here in the book of Ruth tonight. Ruth chapter number 1 tonight, Ruth chapter number 1, and I'll continue here where we was at this morning. Ruth chapter number 1, and I'll give you a little thought again here out of Ruth tonight. Amen. Ruth chapter number 1, and boy, thank God for the blood. I'm telling you, we'd be in a mess if it wasn't for the blood. We'd be on our way to hell is where we'd be if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. Amen. And thank God for the blood tonight. Amen. Ruth chapter number 1. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. The Bible said this, Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. The name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the women was left, and her two sons and her husband. Father, help us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd use us as we preach. God, I pray, Lord, Father, that your will and way would be done in the service. God, I pray, Lord, if there'd be any here lost, that you'd save them. Hear any out of your will. God, I pray, Lord, that you get them back close to you, and we'll give you the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. And we'll look here at what the Lord has for us tonight in His Word. Now, we began this morning here out of the book of Ruth. I really didn't give you no title. I don't really have a title for the message, but just a simple little thought. And really this morning, I got bogged down more on dealing with Elimelech than I did Luke. Luke, where in the world did Luke come from? Than I did Ruth this morning, and how Elimelech led his family out of God's will and led them into Moab, and the great affliction that they suffered there in Moab. And I dealt with how it's so important that us as men be the leaders and the godly men that we need to be in our homes and lead our families in the right direction. And can I just say that again tonight, that is important tonight. I want to say something to you. If you're a husband, I want to say this to the ladies tonight. If your husband's not going to lead the home in the right direction, don't you sit back and allow your home to die spiritually. You keep serving God and pushing forward in the right direction and praying for God to get your husband in the right place. Somebody give me an amen right there, because God can do that. Amen. And you go to church whether your husband goes to church. You live for God whether your husband lives for God. But it is the man's place to lead their home in the right direction. Elimelech didn't do that. Elimelech went out in a time of famine and went to Moab. I talked about how Ruth ends up saying that she went out full, but she came back empty, and how it's very interesting that even though that it was a famine, that they still was full in the midst of a famine. God always has, and God always will sustain His people. Somebody give me an amen right there. God will take care of them. We don't have to go to the world to find help. God will give us what we need. David said this, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, but my God shall supply all your need according according to his riches in glory. Amen. God will take care of his own. He always has. He always will take care of them. Amen. But then we begin looking at the life of Ruth here. How Ruth ends up, when we meet her, she ends up being at a very devastating time in her life. Her husband has died. Her brother-in-law has died. And her father-in-law has died. She's at a very devastating time in her life. That word devastating means this. It means severe and overwhelming shock or grief. And man, that's where she's at in her life. But devastation always leads us to a decision. Ruth had to make a decision on what she was going to do. We find out that Naomi, her mother-in-law, decides that she's going back to Bethlehem, Judea. She decides, man, you know what? I've heard what God is doing there. And she decides, I'm going back. And we found out that Ruth decides, you know what? I'm going with her. I'm going back with her. And she does that. Ruth ends up going back with her. We see her dedication in verse number 18. The Bible said this, when she saw, this is Naomi saw, that she, which is Ruth, was steadfastly minded to go with her. Then she left speaking unto her. Her dedication, man, the Bible said that she was steadfastly minded in going with Naomi. That word steadfastly right there means to be strong, alert, courageous, brave, bold, and solid. And can I say something to you tonight? That's the way that we need to be in the service of God. We need to be strong about it. We need to be alert in it. We need to be courageous in the service of God. Amen. And we see that her dedication was she was going to go. You know, in verse 16 and verse 17, she decides that. In verse 18, they start the journey. And can I just say this in passing tonight? Because of her dedication, she found a new path for her feet. She found a new place for her home. She found a new people for her friend, a new power for her life, and a new prospect for her future. Let me tell you the reason she found that. Because she decided that she was going with God. Amen. She decided that she was going to listen to God, and she will go. And can I just say something to you tonight? When we decide that, man, lock, stock, and barrel, we're selling out, we're going with God, it's amazing what God will do for us in our life. Amen. So that's where we got to this morning. Now watch this. She's decided to go. She's dedicated to that. Now she gets back. And in her dedication in chapter number 2, she begins working in the field. She finds her place. She goes to work. And she begins taking care of what she's taking care of. This guy comes by, looks in the field that she's working with, and we know that that man is the man Boaz, the man that owns all of that. And man, the Cinderella story starts in chapter number 2. She falls in love with him, and he falls in love with her. Watch this, chapter 2, verse number 14. The Bible said this, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he, that is Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. I see this tonight. I see her dining tonight. Her dining tonight. She's been working in the field. She's been dedicated to the things of God. She, can I say it that way? She's been a laborer. She's been doing everything she needed to do. And you know what ends up happening? Boaz allows her to come sit at his table, and he reached her parched corn. In other words, Boaz ends up serving Ruth at his table. Can I say something to you? Ruth would have never enjoyed that if she hadn't made a decision in chapter number 1. Can I just say something to you tonight? I'm made a decision in 1994 to get saved. And in 1996, I made a decision to surrender to the call of God on my life to preach. And in 1999, in November of 1999, in a missions conference, Leslie and I placed ourselves on the altar and we said, God, wherever it is, whenever it is, however it is, we're here to serve you. And we found ourselves in the field doing exactly what God would have us to do. And you know what? Every once in a while, he invites me to come sit around the table and I get to dine with, amen, I get to dine with him around the table. I get to enjoy his blessings on a daily basis. Why? Because years ago, Brother Josh, I just made a decision. Let come what may, hell or high water, I'm going with God. I'm selling out to you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live in what you would have me to do. And every once in a while, he allows us to pull a seat up around the table and fellowship with him and walk with him and talk with him. Her dining, all of that was a result of a decision that she made way back in chapter number one. I want to say something to you tonight. It really does pay to serve the Lord. It really does pay, amen. It really does pay to do what God would have us to do. It really does pay to walk in fellowship with the Lord. It really does pay whenever he tells us something to do. And Brother Heath, sometimes he takes us out of our comfort zone and puts us somewhere else. And Brother Ramsey, every once in a while, he'll send us out to do something else. But it really does pay. It really does pay to walk in fellowship with the Lord. Miss Shara said, you know what? A few weeks ago, every time I said God was good, she said God was bad. But this past Wednesday, they let her, God, let Miss Shara pull up around the dining table and see somebody that once mocked the things of God come to know the Lord. Why? Because she made a decision years ago that I'll just go with God. And if God's ministry is for me to walk into an old nasty jailhouse and tell somebody else about God, I'll just be a laborer in his field. Oh, yeah. Her dining. Her dining. Now watch this. Let me show you something else. I got to move quick tonight. I not only see her dining, I see her dilemma. She finds herself in a dilemma in her life. Anybody ever found themselves in a dilemma in their life? Mixed emotions, not knowing if you've done the right thing or the wrong. I had mixed emotions yesterday afternoon. Did I tell y'all about that? I had mixed emotions yesterday afternoon. Olivia and I went to town yesterday morning to get Miss Leslie, a Christmas present, a Valentine's. What is her, what's today? Her birthday, a birthday present. And we stopped at Lowe's to get some coffee and creamer because I enjoy on Sunday nights drinking coffee and creamer with everybody and fellowshipping. And so we stopped to get that, and we walked by the meat cooler. That was a mistake. With Olivia, so I want that filet right there. Oh, hey, bag that thing up. I want two of them pork chops right there is what I said. And I will bag them things up. And Miss Leslie, I thought, well, she needs some salmon. So get us some salmon. And he said, that dude that was working that counter was a professional salesman. And he said, well, look right here, man, we've got these twice baked potatoes. They're already fixed up. All you've got to do is put them in the oven. Man, they had cheese on them. They had bacon on them. They had the work. I said, well, put four or five of them in there. $67 time we got done. I looked at Olivia whenever we walked out, and I said, we could have went to the depot and ate cheaper than that. Anyway, we cooked all that up last night on the grill, and we sat down and was eating for her birthday, and I got one of them nice fancy cameras down at one of my altars. Y'all that was here this morning understands that. And I got one of them fancy cameras down at one of my altars, and Brother Jim, it started going off. And at that altar, there's been this guy coming through there that's got 10 points on top of his head. And guess what? While I was at the supper table eating with my wife,
and shooting hours. I mean, it was plenty of daylight to shoot him. Guess who walked around in front of my altar for about 10 minutes eating corn? I had mixed emotions. Did I make the right decision by not going hunting? Y'all went and mixed emotions.
A dilemma.
Can I get there fast enough, sneak in? Are you with me? She finds herself. I really didn't have mixed emotions. I knew I made the wrong decision. I mean, I knew. Boy, I'm in trouble now. I knew I made the right decision. Watch the, her dilemma. Everything's going smooth for her right here. Man, her and Boaz has fell in love. She's been sitting at his table. Matter of fact, whenever you study chapter 3 out, she's sitting at his feet. She's in love. She's wanting to marry him. But watch this. In chapter number 3, and I'm not going to take time to read all of it, she finds out, and I don't have time to preach all of this, but there is a near kinsman to her that can redeem her. And you got to go into manners and customs. I'm not going to preach all of it because you don't have an hour for that. I got an hour for it, but you don't. But here's what happens. In other words, she don't know that she's going to be able to marry Boaz. She don't know. So she goes running back home after dogging to Boaz. And the Bible says this in verse number 18 of chapter 3. Then said she, this is Naomi talking to Ruth, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man, Boaz, will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. She finds herself in a dilemma because what she thought was going to happen, she wasn't sure it was going to happen. Now, think about something with me. The Bible said this, sit still, my daughter. So here's what I imagine, Brother Robert. She comes tearing through the... I don't know if y'all know this or not, but every once in a while, a woman can be a little dramatic. I'm just telling facts. You say, well, men can too. Yeah, you're sitting down there and at the house yesterday when I seen that deer walking around. Drama, man. All the drama that was inside of... But what, I mean, let's just be real. They're the weaker vessel. It's nothing against a woman. That's what the Bible says. And they can, give me an amen right here. They can be drama. If anybody can talk about drama, you and Jacob and Rodney ought to be able to talk about drama. I mean, all three of them, I seen them the other night, and they was all asleep. And I asked them what was wrong, and they said, well, we seen some medicine down there at the store that said drama mean. And said, we thought it would help us with all the drama in our house. I said, boy, that was drama mean. They was all passed out, thought they was taking something to help them with the drama in their house. Watch this. She's pacing back and forth. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've done fell in love with him. I don't know what I'm going to do. She's probably fanning. She's having hot flashes. She sits down. And Naomi says, sit still, my daughter. Just wait a minute. Just wait a minute. He's going to take care of this. You say, preacher, what are you? I'm talking about the dilemmas that hit our life. Now, I know I'm taking this in a completely different direction than what I normally preach. It's just a practical application I'm bringing right here, okay? Just a practical application. You ever been in the service of God doing everything you thought you were supposed to do, and all of a sudden something takes a turn the opposite direction? And you find yourself going, what am I going to do now? And God has to say, sit still. Matter of fact, what did he say? He said, be still and know that I am God. There's sometimes we just need to sit down and zip our lips and wait on him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. She says, just sit still a minute. Her dilemma in her life. There'll be times that dilemmas come in our life. But let me tell you what we must go back to. We must go back to a decision that we made. Whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. We must look back and realize what He has done for us. You know what? All she had to do is think back about all the times that He'd throw those handfuls of purpose out for her and how He had sustained her and how He had met her need. The dilemmas will come in our life, but we must remain faithful. Let me show you something else. I see her deliverance. Chapter number 4. Rolls around. Boaz, you that knows the story, goes and sits down at the gate. He brings Mr. Such a One, the 10 witnesses in, and he asks the guy to redeem her. He says he's not going to redeem her. Look what the Bible said in verse number 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day. Remember what was said in chapter 3, verse 18. Said he's not going to sit down until he finishes the work this day. He said, you're witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. And from the gate of his place, ye are witnesses this day. Her deliverance was this. She ends up marrying Boaz and living happily ever after. Why? All of it goes back to one thing. She decided, let come what may, I'm going with him. Now, I'm going to give you this in closing. Her development. Watch what happens in the life of Ruth after this. Chapter 4, verse 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Obed ends up being born, and Obed's mom and daddy is Boaz and Ruth. Ruth, watch the way the Bible goes. Ruth has Obed. Obed, he is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. Are you with me? Jesse is the father of David. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. Matthew, chapter number 1. Let me read you something right here. Matthew, chapter number 1. I don't have this marked, so give me just a minute to get there. Matthew chapter number 1. Starts out the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. Judas begot Phares. Now go down to verse number 5. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of who? Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. Now what did the Bible say in the first verse? They are the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Then the beginning of chapter number 1 of Matthew is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It's his family tree. Did you see a name mentioned in his family tree? Ruth. Ruth was mentioned in the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. 5 women is mentioned in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know who one of them is? Ruth. I said, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Here's what it's got to do with it. It's from Ruth that the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ ends up, her development. There was a day that she was living in Moab and had nothing. Her husband was dead. Her brother-in-law was dead. Her father-in-law was dead. She was left there desolate in the world, in the wickedness of the world, when you study Moab. And somebody came by and told her mother-in-law that there was bread in Bethlehem, Judea, because that's what she said. She said, I've heard that there's bread there. And evidently, Naomi told Ruth and Orpah about it. And what does Ruth end up doing? Come start playing softly, if you will. Here's what Ruth ends up doing. Through her devastation, she made a decision that would forever change her life. That thousands of years later, people would be pointing back to Ruth and the decision that she made out of the devastation in her life. You said, preacher, why do you say that? I say that to say this. When we are devastated, our decisions will affect us forever. She makes the right decision and goes with Naomi and ends up bringing the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ through and ends up in the genealogy of Christ. I don't think we're getting that. She's in the genealogy of the Lamb of God. The man that went to Calvary to die for our sins, she's in his family tree. She's in his family tree. Why? Because she made the right decision. All goes back to that one thing. I said it this morning in closing. Let me echo it just real quick. Are you still in chapter 1? If you're still in chapter 1 of Ruth, let me find it. Chapter 1 of Ruth, if you're still there. Look what the Bible said. And they lifted up their voices, verse 14. They lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her mother-in-law. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. She went back to the world. Unto her little G-O-D-S's. Return thou thither unto thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. You see right there, Orpah goes back to the world and back to the little gods of Moab. And here's what I said this morning. Close your Bible. That's it. You never hear of Orpah again. You'll never hear of her again. For all we know, she died and went to hell. We never hear of her again. She's redeemed in chapter number 4. If you paid attention when I read it to you, Boaz bought all of Mahlon's, Chilion's, and Elimelech's. She was redeemed. Whether she ever accepted, I don't think she ever accepted it, because we never hear nothing else out of Brother Gray. We never hear from her again. I don't know if anybody ever went and told her, you've been bought. Boy, we preach soul winning right there. The price has been paid. All you've got to do is come to Bethlehem. The price, everything's taken care of. All you got to do is come. But we never hear of her again. Our devastations will lead us to decisions in our life. And even though we may be dedicated to doing what's right, there's still going to be some dilemmas that come our way. But we must go back to those days where we decided that by the help of God and the grace of God, I'm going to finish, and I'm going to finish right. God will develop us through that. God will. It's different now, but years ago, matter of fact, we still got a 35 millimeter camera down there, Brother Brian. It's what I took pictures of a Madeline when she was in the hospital, and then whenever it got done, it went and wound back up, and you took it over to the 1 hour photo delivery. I remember when there wasn't a 1 hour photo delivery, but you took it. And here's what they always said, that film was developed in the dark. And that's the way God develops us sometimes, in the dark. Ruth found herself in the dark in the closing of chapter number 3, but the closing of chapter number 4, she's got a baby and she's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. He developed her. So in your dilemmas in your life, let God mature you and make you better and not bitter. But all of that comes back to the decisions that we make. To the decisions that we make. What am I going to do in my dilemma? Am I going to stay with Him or am I going to go against Him? Father.